church say welcome home, and that's how we want you to feel while you're here. Amen. It's been a long couple years, and we've not been able to do some of our Easter activities like we always did, but today we're celebrating. Amen. And so we're just thankful to be here in the church and the assembly. What an honor it is to just be in his presence. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't take that lightly, because not everybody had opportunity today to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Across our country and across our world, not everybody has that opportunity. And so I thank you, Lord, that we sit here today with open hearts and open minds and an open tomb. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'm thankful for what the Lord has done. How many are thankful that God has kept us over the last couple years? Amen. We've walked through some things. We've had to shift some things. We've had to readjust. We've had to realign. We've had to do things differently. But how many believe that God is still in control? God is still God. He's still on plan A. There's no plan B. Amen. He's got you in the palm of his hands. Amen. Hallelujah. Aren't you thankful that he's the Lion of Judah? Hallelujah. Let the lion roar. He is a lamb, but he's a lion. He came as a lamb, but how many know he rules as a lion? Hallelujah. And I'm thankful for that this morning. So I want to talk to you this morning a little bit about the God of the gap. Amen? The God of the gap, the Saturday God. How many are thankful for the Saturday God? How many are thankful for the God of the gap? You know, that moment between Friday and Sunday, right? That moment between Friday and Sunday. How many know Friday, when we look at the cross and we look at the brutality of those things? And, you know, I looked at a timeline Friday as I was just pondering Good Friday. And we call it Good Friday. How many know there wasn't much good about it? Yeah. Call it Holy Friday. But for Jesus, it wasn't a Good Friday. But for us, it was a Good Friday. Amen. But when you look at the timeline of that, you look at the brutality of the cross, and you look about how that they passed him back and forth, and they falsely accused him, and they plucked his beard, and they whipped him with stripes, and they put the crown of thorns on his head, and then they forced him to carry his own cross, and then they nailed him to the cross. Hallelujah. It wasn't such a good day. I mean, no, there was a lot of people that stood at the foot of the cross disappointed. There was a lot of people who stood at the foot of the cross scared. There was a lot of people who stood there in fear. There was a lot who stood there in mockery. There was a lot who didn't stand there. There was a lot who didn't stand there. And I want to talk about that a little bit today. But how many know, to stand from that view, it was harsh. It was hard. It was brutal. Hallelujah. And then we hear that, we understand in the scriptures that the scripture said when Jesus began to cry out from the cross, it is finished. And the last thing he says is, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. The scripture says, no man takes my life, but I lay it down. How many know they didn't take his life? He gave his life for us this morning. Hallelujah. And when he made that final statement, something started to shake. Something started to vibrate. The earth began to quake. The temple began to shake, and the scripture says, and the veil of the temple that separated the high priest from the outside and where the common people were. How many know the veil of the temple rent from the top to the bottom? And all of a sudden, when no man ever had access into the presence of the Lord, all of a sudden now mercy comes running out of that place. Grace floods the earth, and all of a sudden we have access now to the presence of the most holy God. Hallelujah. So many things were happening, but then darkness hit, right? Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus begged for the body of Jesus because they didn't want him left on the cross on the Sabbath. And then the Sabbath happens and everything is silent because nobody was allowed to do anything on the Sabbath. Jesus didn't speak. God didn't speak. The disciples hid. Mary wept. The ladies weren't seen. The crowds were no more. The heavens were silent. God was silent, but he wasn't still. He wasn't talking, but he was moving. I mean, a preparation was coming. And there's that moment between the cross and where you stand in disappointment and you stand in despair and you stand in doubt. And those disciples, and some of them stood there and said, we put all of our eggs in one basket. And that basket isn't what we thought it was going to be. We thought you were the Messiah. We thought you were going to take over. We thought that you were going to raise up rule, that you were going to come against the Romans. We thought that you were going to fight the Jews. We thought all of those things. But Jesus had already talked to them in an upper room when he sat down with his basin. He began to wash the feet of the disciples. And he began to tell them what was going to take place. And all of them still did not understand. They still did not believe. And he began to say to them, one of you is going to betray me. Peter, you're going to deny me. Peter said, not so, Lord. I'll go with you to the cross. And I think probably of all the disciples, we identify with Peter the most. We know that Peter was strong. We know he was a fighter, right? When they come to arrest Jesus in the garden, he pulls out the sword and he's ready to fight and he cuts off the ear of the servant. We know he's not weak. We know he's a fighter. And yet he said, Peter, before the cock crows, you're going to deny me three times. He was ready to fight the soldier for Jesus. And yet when a damsel said, you're one of his, aren't you? His response was, no, I don't know him. And then it was silent. Nothing. Nothing was being said. I want to talk to you a little bit this morning about the God of the gap. That moment from Friday till Sunday when you've been in disappointment, maybe been in despair, maybe lived in fear, in doubt, didn't know what was coming next, didn't know who to trust, didn't know where to look. And yet, Sunday, all of a sudden, we start to hear a rattle. We start to hear some movement. We start to hear a sound. After God has been silent, we start to hear a sound. You know, I thought about in the scriptures, so many of the people that we hear the stories in the scripture. Somebody say, God of the gap. How many know it took 120 years for Noah to build the ark? And 40 days and 40 nights of rain on a boat with stinky animals. Right? Abraham was 75, Sarah was 65 when he received the promise that his seed would be as the sands of the sea and stars of the heavens. How many know it was 25 years before that would come to pass? It was 40 years from the Exodus out of Egypt, the blood on the doorpost, the Passover. 40 years out of Exodus before the children of Israel came into the promised land. How many know it took them 7 days to march down around the walls of Jericho without making a sound? God said, I want you to march around the walls of Jericho. And I love this because when the children of Israel got ready to cross over the Jordan and they came into Jericho and they came into the house of Rahab the harlot, they said of them, we've heard of your God. We've heard of you. We've heard of your God in the wilderness. And the children of Israel started to march around the walls of Jericho for 7 days. First day, nothing. And he said, I want you to do it, and I want you to not make a sound. I want you to not talk. I want you to not speak while you march around the walls of Jericho. See, here, I've always said that the greatest miracle in that story is not that the walls fell. The greatest miracle, doctor, is that nobody talked for 7 days. See, I spend my day in kindergarten, and that is a God-given miracle that many people can walk for 7 days and not say something. Come on, somebody. But here's what I think he told them. Don't you say nothing. Don't you talk. Don't you speak. Because by the time you start talking to feet at the front of the line And by 7 days, by the end of the line, they're going to be talking defeat at the end of the line. He said, don't anybody say nothing until it's time to blow the trumpets. And when you blow the trumpets, the wall's going to fall down. How many know it's only by a clear prophetic voice that God will move the obstacles out of your way and give you the victory that he promised? But sometimes in the gap, you got to be silent from day one to day seven and trust God in the gap to say, God, you will get us to where we need to be. How many know about 4 or 5 days into that, they're probably tired. They're thirsty. They're hungry. Their belly hurts. Their knees aren't working. How many know sometimes, yeah, we got to go to the bathroom. Are we there yet? But sometimes from day one to day seven, we start to wonder, God, are you the God of miracles? How many know Naomi was in Moab for 10 years before God brought her back and began to connect her and Ruth together and then bring her to the house of the Redeemer, Boaz, and to bring the son from our Boaz Redeemer, where the seed of David would come. 15 years from the time David was anointed king, was anointed to be king until he actually took the kingship. 15 years. Daniel was in the lion's den. Not sure how long, but 5 minutes was too long. Amen? Hallelujah. The three Hebrew children were in the fiery furnace. How many know it was 700 years from the time that Isaiah prophesied and said, behold, a virgin will conceive and bear a son, and his name shall be called Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. 700 years before it happened, he prophesied and said, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we were healed. How many know 700 years before it happened, Isaiah prophesied it? You think he got called a false prophet in that time? Do you think he ever questioned and said, how long, Lord? How long, Lord? Somebody say he's God of the gap. Hallelujah. And there's times in our life and there's situations where we face, and maybe it was 2 years of COVID. Maybe it was, you know, when we went out of school for COVID, they told us prepare for 2 weeks. We didn't know it was going to be 2 years. How many know he's God of the gap? He's the God of provision. He's the God in the silence. He's the God when it looks like nothing's happening, he's still working. How many know God is orchestrating and putting things in place on your behalf when you don't even know it, you don't even see it, you don't understand it? You might think God was silent on Saturday, but let me tell you, the heavens were standing at attention and hell took notice of what was taking place. And I'm going to guarantee you, Isaiah and some of them stood and looked over the portals of heaven and said, I told you it was going to come to pass. It took 700 years, but the Messiah, the one I prophesied of, is about to change all eternity. How many know he didn't just get up from the grave? When he got up from the grave, he brought you up with him, and it was the inauguration of a new covenant. A new day. We don't live under the Mosaic covenant anymore. How many know Jesus came to fulfill that? He didn't do away with it. He came to fulfill it. He became the Lamb of Sacrifice. I passed a whole lot of little sheep in a field on my way to church this morning. And they were probably saluting me saying, thanks for not stopping to bring me to church today. I didn't have to offer one lamb today. I didn't have to offer one bullock today. I didn't have to shed any blood today. All I had to do was come and peer on a spotless lamb that hung on the cross of Calvary, that gave his life for me, that I don't have to pay for my sin. I don't have to bring a lamb or a bullock, but I can stand before him and say, you're not looking at me today, you're looking at the lamb. And when you look at the lamb, you see nothing but forgiveness and life and hope. We have resurrection life in us today. It's who we are. Hallelujah. Hebrews 13 and 6 through 8 says, he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the same God. He's the Saturday God. He's the God who sustains us. Romans 8, 9 through 7 says, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. How many know it was the inauguration of the new covenant? It was the giving of the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said to them, and the night that he was betrayed, he said, I will not leave you comfortless, but I will send a comforter to you, and he will lead and guide you into all truth. I'm not leaving you, darling. I'm coming back with the host of heaven, the glory of the Holy Ghost, which is about to infill every believer to not only give you forgiveness, but empower you to walk in it. How many know it's only by his spirit that we can walk in what he has given us? Yep. Hallelujah. Amen. It's the inauguration of a new covenant. It's a new beginning, a new testament. That's why we have an Old Testament and a New Testament. Amen. An old covenant and a new covenant. I want to go to John chapter 11 this morning, and verse 11, it's not the typical one, but I'll get there. It says, these things said he, and after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go, that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought he had spoken of taking a rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent that ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us go also, that we may die with him. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as he had heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst just been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, yes, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way, called Mary her sister secretly, saying, the Master is come and calleth for thee. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in his spirit and was troubled. And said, where have ye laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus therefore again groaning in himself cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, Lord, by this time he stinks, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldst see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. He that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto him, loose him and let him go. We see the scripture where Jesus' friend Lazarus, and they sent for him, and they said, Lazarus is sick. And Jesus delays for 4 days. Jesus delays for 4 days, And then he goes to him, and he says to them, Lazarus is asleep. And they said, well, Lord, if he's asleep, he doeth well. And he, in plain language, says, Lazarus is dead. But I'm glad for your sakes that we're going to go to him. And he goes to the house of Mary and Martha, and Mary and Martha come out to meet him weeping and saying, Lord, if you had been here, if you'd have just come, he was your friend. If you would have been here, my brother would not have died. Have you ever questioned God's intentions? Have you ever wondered, where are you? God, where were you in the midst of grief, in the midst of torment, in the midst of chaos? God, where are you? Yeah. And I want to remind you this morning, he might be silent, but he's not still. And so he gets there and he sees the weeping of them and he says, take me to where you've laid him. And they said, Lord, he's been there 4 days. He stinks. Can anybody raise their hand this morning and say, death stinks. Grief stinks. Chaos of life stinks sometimes. Sometimes it's not always perfume and roses. Sometimes there's the gap where you say, God, where were you? God, can you come? God, what can you do for my Lazarus? And Jesus comes to her and says, Mary, Martha, I am resurrection life. And they said, I believe in the resurrection and the day of yet to come. I believe there will be a resurrection. But what about right now? He said, no, resurrection life is standing in front of you right here, right now. Because when I speak the word, when I say the word, the heavens come alive. And when the heavens come alive, the stone has to move. And when the stone has to move, the weeping has to stop. And when the weeping has to stop, Jesus called Lazarus by name because I think he could have emptied the graves that day. He specifically said, Lazarus, come forth. And then he said, you loose him and let him go. You wrapped him up. You tied him up in grave clothes. You put him in the tomb. You rolled the stone away. You gave up on him. You loose him and let him know. How many know there are people in grave clothes today that are wrapped up that somebody needs to speak resurrection life to them and set them free and loose them and let them go? Yep. Hallelujah. We have the power of resurrection. The scripture I just told you, since that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead, what? Where? Dwells in you, it will quicken and make alive your mortal body. Yep. Then we have the story of Jairus' daughter, where we see that Jairus sends to the Lord and he said, Master, can you come? My daughter is sick and nigh unto death. But on the way, Jesus gets detained by a woman who has an issue of blood. And she detains Jesus on the way because she says, if I could just reach in and touch the hem of his garment, I know that I could be made whole. And how many know why Jesus is on a mission to get to a younger generation? There's an older woman that's trying to touch him. And he stops and he heals the woman with an issue of blood. And in the meantime, Jairus has said, don't trouble the master. You don't have to come anymore. She's dead. There was a gap. There was a gap from the time they sent for the Lord until Jesus made it to the house of Jairus. He said, don't bother the master. Can I just tell you this morning, you're not a bother. You don't bother the master. He cares about you. It's no bother. And Jesus said, take me to where you've laid her. And he walks into the room, and when they began to scoff Jesus, he shut the door to everybody's unbelief, and he walks into the room, and he takes the young lady by hand, and he raises her up out of the bed, and he takes her out and hands her over to her parents. Because why? Because I am resurrection, and I am life. I'm not delayed. I got it. I got you covered. It might seem like a gap, but I'm on my way. I got resurrection life. And when I speak the word, things start to happen. It might not be on your timeline. It might not be on your day, but it's going to happen. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yep. There was a widow who had a son, the widow of Nain. And there was a procession as Jesus started to walk past. And when she went to walk past, he saw that they were in mourning and they were crying and weeping. And the widow was sorrowful because How many know we talked before that if you were a widow in this day, widow meant a woman without a voice. That meant you lost your inheritance, you lost your provision, you lost your home, you lost everything because the oldest son is supposed to take care of you. And he's walking past the procession of the dead man, and Jesus walks over and he raises the dead man to life. And he gets up off of the thing. Why? Because I am resurrection and I am life. Hallelujah. And so I want to read the story out of John chapter 20. It says, the first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early when it was yet dark unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh unto Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth and that other disciple and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And he stooping down and looking in saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. I love a man who folds his own laundry. Can you say amen? He wrapped it, laid it together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed, for as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white, sitting, the one at the head, the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. I don't know where Jesus is. Jesus is missing. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if you have borne him hence, if you have taken my Lord, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus said unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, touch me not, for I'm not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things unto her. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled, for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Mary comes very early in the morning to the tomb, Mary Magdalene, you know, the one who Jesus had delivered of seven devils, seven demons, you know, Holy Mary, the one that came to the tomb. And she came there, the scripture says, with her hands full of spices to minister to her Lord. One of the scriptures that I read last night said Mary Magdalene, and I believe it was Johanna, and Mary, the mother of James, and them were the supporters of the ministry of Jesus. She had the finances to bring the spices to the tomb. But she comes very early in the morning. Aren't you thankful for the Spice Girls that showed up with spices in their hands and came to a tomb? Because if you're ever going to face death, don't come empty-handed. If you're ever going to face trauma, don't come empty-handed. If you're ever going to face despair, don't come empty-handed. If you're going to face doubt, don't come empty-handed. If you're going to face sorrow, don't come empty-handed. Come full of the anointing and come full of spices. So when you get to the tomb, what looks like yesterday's death is tomorrow's resurrection. Hallelujah. And so she gets there and she comes to anoint the body of Jesus, because I'm sure she's thinking that Joseph and Nicodemus probably didn't do it right. They probably didn't wash his face. I saw how his face was bleeding. I saw how his back was bloody. I saw how his feet were nailed. Joseph, Nicodemus, did you make sure that you wrapped him well? Did you put enough spices on him? Did you take good care of my Lord? And they get there, and she comes to the tomb, and he says, "Where is my Jesus? What have you done with Jesus?" There's people all over the world today searching for this Jesus of resurrection, not the Friday Jesus, not the Saturday Jesus, but the Sunday Jesus, the God of resurrection life, the God of hope, the God. And she comes to anoint the body, and she comes to put her spices on him, and she can't find him. But all of a sudden, he begins to say her name. And I want to tell you this something this morning. There's something about the way that Jesus says your name that gets your attention. I don't know about you, but I was about 3 or 4 years old when he spoke my name, and he got my attention, and I gave my heart to the Lord as a little girl, and I found Jesus because I heard him speak my name. And if he ever speaks your name today, you won't turn away from him. You won't mistake who he is. He truly is the gardener. He turned a garden. Adam turned a garden into a graveyard, but Jesus turned a garden. Adam turned a garden into a graveyard, but Jesus turned a graveyard into a garden. And if he ever speaks your name, there was something about the way Jesus spoke to the disciples when they were out on the shore that caused them to follow him. There's something about the way Jesus spoke to a blind man, and how he spoke to the woman who was bowed over, and how he spoke to the leper, that got their attention, Miss Barbara. And if he ever speaks your name, you'll know it. You'll know he's calling for you. He said, "Mary." And she said, "Rabboni, that's the sound of my master. That's my Jesus." Peter recognized it because it was the same voice that said, Peter said, "Master, if it's you, bid me come to you." And Jesus said, "Come on, Peter. Today's your day to walk on water. Come on, Peter. Today's your day to walk on water." But here's my question to you this morning. Mary's at the tomb. The scripture tells us that James and John's mother was there. Different of the woman, Joanna Salome, was there. Different women were at the tomb. The disciples were holding up in a room that was behind a locked door. Remember that? Until Mary Magdalene goes and said, "I have seen the Lord. I have talked face to face with Jesus." My question this morning is, where was Lazarus? Where was Jairus? Where was the widow of Nain? Because I'm thinking, if I was Lazarus and Mary and Martha, if I was Jairus and the daughter, if I was that woman with the son, the widow of Nain, I'd be standing in the background somewhere with a flash mob saying, "Wait for it, wait for it." Come on, somebody. There should have been a crowd there, and maybe they were off in the distance. Maybe we don't know, but there should have been a Lazarus that showed up at the tomb and said, "Don't count him out. It ain't over till it's over, because I stand here in resurrection life." Jairus said, "Hey, don't get all upset, people, because I've seen him raise the dead." The widow of Nain should have been there singing, "He lives, he lives, because he lives." My question is, do we walk away in the gap? Do we forget God's power and his miracles in the gap between Friday and Sunday? Where was the multitude? I want to know, where's the boy with the 5 loaves and 2 fish? There was a witness of them feeding the 5,000. I want to know where Barabbas is at. Because on that day when they said, "Who would you like us to release to you?" Knowing for sure that they're going to release the Messiah, the rabbi, the miracle worker, the master. They're going to release him, but they didn't. He said, "Who do you want me to release to you?" And he said, "Give us Barabbas." I want to know where Barabbas is on Sunday morning. Because I want to tell you, if I'd have been sitting in that dark, dingy, dirty cell, waiting for my own execution, because of the sin that I had already done. And when the key started to rattle in the door, and they opened his door and said, "Guess what, Barabbas? You've been set free. You get to go free." And he was like, "What? But I'm guilty." "I know, but you get to go through it free." "Who said?" "That man out there with the stripes, the guy with the crown, the guy carrying the cross, he took your place. He took your place today." That's what forgiveness feels like, when you know that cross was meant for you, but somebody opens the key of your cell and says, "You get to go free today. You've been set free. You've been liberated. You have resurrection life in you." I'm going to tell you, if I'd have been Barabbas, I'd have been standing there. If I was the woman bowed over for 18 years, I'd have been standing there. The man born blind, the leper, where were they? Because see, here's what happens sometimes in our miracles, sometimes in our fellowship with Jesus. We get all caught up in the miracles, and we get all caught up in the good times, and we get all caught up in the blessings of walking with the rabbi and Jesus. And then there's the gap. There's that moment, that time where it seems like God is silent. It says at the foot of the tomb, there wasn't very many of the disciples that was there. We know there was 5,000 at the dinner party with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Where were they on Sunday? Where are you today? Where do you stand? Do you stand on Friday in disappointment and disbelief and discouragement? Or do you stand today in resurrection power and say, "That was me. I was Barabbas. I was the woman who's been healed. I'm the one that's been set free. I'm the leopard without spots. I'm the blind man with open eyes. I'm Mary Magdalene, the unholy one. And yet, he called my name. He called my name, Mary. And I said, 'My Rabboni, my master.' He said, 'Mary, don't touch me. You can't touch the mercy seat. You can't touch the Ark of the Covenant.'" Amen. "Don't try to hold me here, Mary. Don't try to hold me to what used to be, but let me go. Because I got greater things in store for you, Mary. I got more for you. Go tell my disciples." Hey, and while you're at it, go tell Peter. He's waiting to hear from me. I'm not mad at Peter. Peter's mad at himself. Go tell Peter. There's something about that when Mary would have got to the house and he said, "Hey, Peter, he told me specifically to tell you that I'm resurrected from the dead." And Jesus comes back to Peter. After Peter had denied him 3 times, Jesus comes back to Peter and gives him 3 opportunities to say, "Lord, you know I love you." Hallelujah. He said, "Peter, you're going to deny me three times, but don't let your heart be troubled and neither be afraid. I got you, Peter. Go tell my disciples and go tell Peter." Hallelujah. I want you to know this morning, he's the God of the gap. Yes. He's the God of your space. Yes. Maybe you've been crying out for something today. Maybe you've been praying for something. Maybe you've been hoping for something, and it just doesn't seem like it's coming, or it doesn't seem like it's working out, and it just seems like you can't get through. I want to tell you this morning, he's the God of the gap. You might think that God is silent. He's not silent. He's just still. Hallelujah. As you peer into that tomb today, where are you? Are you weeping? Rejoicing? Can you not just wait to tell somebody? Hallelujah. Where do you stand today?
Jewish tradition.
exploded. Yes. Hallelujah. Resurrection power. Hallelujah. Stand with me this morning while Beth gets ready to come and play. Linen is a righteousness. Amen. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we could become the righteousness of God in Christ. So many points in the story that we could cover this morning. It's such a powerful portion of scripture. So many things that God is revealing that he had spoken in his promises. But I don't know where you stand today. If you were looking for the God of the gap this morning, the God between diagnosis and your healing, the God of your dream, between your dream and your reality, the gap between broken relationships and new beginnings, the gap between fulfillment of promises, the gap between the prodigals returning home, the gap between poverty and promotion, the gap between the prison to the palace. When it seems like Friday and Saturday is silent, hallelujah, how many know he's still God? Don't get lost in the waiting. The God of Sunday is the God of Friday too. Resurrection power is in you today. Amen? Hallelujah. Resurrection power is in you today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to get ready to pray this morning. If you're here this morning and you've not accepted Jesus as your personal Savior and you would like to do that, it's a Resurrection Sunday. It's a time of resurrection. If you've come for renewal, you just say, Lord, I need a fresh renewing of your spirit. If you need something, if you're in the gap this morning, say, I need God to move for me. I need, hallelujah, to hear the voice of my master, my Rabboni. We want to pray with you this morning as the children are coming back in. Hallelujah. Let's just bow our heads and pray this morning and just believe as they get ready to sing. Hallelujah. Our altar's open. If you'd like prayer, if you'd like to pray with us, just make your way down the aisle. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
When the best of me